This is being kept really in-house.
Yeah, really, because Shohei scared him, man. Yeah. Shohei said, if anything leaks from any team, you're out.
Yeah.
I love that. And no one's talking because everybody's scared shitless.
Yeah.
So it makes me think, so Jeff Passan came out today and said, the Red Sox are out, the Yankees are out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are they? Or are they just, do they just have to say we're out?
Follow at Wake and Rake Pod on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Here's Danny and Will.
Wake and Rake Podcast, baby. Episode 107. And yes, he's back. Mr. Will Middlebrooks, happy holiday season to you. Happy belated Thanksgiving. Yeah, how was it for you?
It was good. We don't have normal Thanksgiving in my house because Jenny travels every Thursday for her game that week. So Wednesday, her mom moved to Port St. Lucie, which is about an hour north of us in Florida. So we went up and saw her and Jenny's stepdad, took the kids up there, did a little small Thanksgiving thing there. But then I went over to the neighbor's house with the kids when she was gone on Thursday. So nothing too crazy. Got plenty of food, though. I don't need it, but I got it.
Yeah, I'm gaining some weight. Holiday weight's there. It's just always at your disposal. The parties, too. The parties get you.
It's the leftovers, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's a leftover. Like, the meal itself is good. Like, you crush it. You're good. You're miserable for a little bit. You watch football and the lazy boy for a bit. Yeah, you feel it for a couple of days. But it's like eating, crushing your leftover, like making the leftover, like, turkey, stuffing, cranberry salt, like, all that on a sandwich for 3 days after that, which is amazing. But then you just feel like shit, right, for like a week and a half.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. With all that said, it's worth it.
Are you a charcuterie board fan?
Charcuterie? Is that what you said?
Charcuterie board?
Yeah, yeah. I'm down with that. I'm down with the meats and cheeses. Yeah. I got to have something sweet, though. So, like, grapes, honey, like the fig jam.
Yeah.
Like, you do something sweet with the saltiness of the cheese. Don't get me going right now. I'll get going on some cheese, though. I'll get going. You got to put something sweet in there with the saltiness of like a goat cheese or a blue cheese. Get a nice little cracker. Oh, I'm fired up now.
Do you cook? I know you smoke and grill, but
I can cook-ish. I mean, not like Jenny. Jenny was like a child prodigy. I don't think I ever told you this.
She has her own cooking show.
Yeah, like cooking blog show. She was like a prodigy. Like when she was a kid, she was young and had like full rides to like multiple culinary institutes.
Really?
Like New York, like all over the place. Yeah. And she decided last second, I want to be like a real kid. Like I want to go to college and have like a normal life. So she ended up going to UMass with cheerleader, partied her ass off, I'm sure. I just, some things I don't need to know. But
normal life, right?
And it worked out. It worked out for her. But she can cook, man. You can just give her like a pile of like random shit. And she'll make like a gourmet meal out of it. It's a superpower I wish I had. I need directions. I can follow directions.
And here, what I was thinking, you married her for her looks. And
in fact,
it's her cooking abilities, which is totally respectable.
Her looks are like secondary. Maybe even. Yeah, I'll go secondary. It's a cooking.
Yeah.
Look, these love handles weren't always there. All right.
Good. Glad your Thanksgiving was good. I'm glad we're both carrying some holiday weight. A lot of free agency to talk about too, man. Baseball's kind of slowly processing and developing free agency. Like Aaron Nola's re-signed with the Phillies. St. Louis is making a little bit of noise starting pitching wise, mostly, you know, mid-tier, lower, other than Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray is a very nice pickup. There's some questions of whether he should be the number one in St. Louis, but Sonny Gray did finish number two in American League Cy Young voting. So,
last couple years, like he's really recreated himself. This is pitch selection. I think, you know, there's guys we're seeing change their career path because of analytics and metrics and measurements. And we're being able to see, my arm angle means I have a low release or low attack angle, whatever it may be, a Joe Ryan, a Scherzer, or whatever. That means I need to use that to my advantage. Like I shouldn't throw two seamers because that's going to be easier to hit. When you have a lower arm slot, you throw a four seamer at the top of the zone and it stays up. It doesn't come down because of just how it looks to a hitter. So I think with the analytics and metrics and everything, guys are starting to see their measurements and realize you're seeing guys go from sliders to sweepers or curveballs to sweepers because it matches their arm slot where they release the ball, their spin because of their arm slot. and their arm action. So you're seeing guys match up and really find a way to get the most out of their body because of what they naturally do movement wise. So I think you're seeing guys recreate numbers. You're getting better towards the end of their 30s, like Sonny Gray, because of what we have figured out on the analytics side of things.
What's your definition of a number one starter?
Starts every 5 days. Every 5 days. He's going to give you six innings every outing.
Sounds like Sonny Gray to me.
Sounds like Sonny Gray. It's what he did. It's what he's done for the last couple of years.
I think there's like a new fad in Major League Baseball. It's a copycat league. Everybody copycats what everybody else does. Hold on.
Yeah, but they call it setting the market, right?
Setting the market. Like, look what the Rangers did this last season. So they're hoping Jacob DeGrom is their number one. They're hoping Nathan Eovaldi is their number two. John Gray follows after that. Then Jacob DeGrom gets hurt. Then the Texas Rangers is like, shit, we need another number one. Let's go get Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer gets hurt. So then Eovaldi once again steps into that number one spot. They were hoping Eovaldi would be their number two. So it just goes to show that if you acquire enough veteran arms who can give you 5 to 6 good innings, maybe you don't need a true number one.
I mean, depth is, yeah, if you have a rotation full of twos and threes that stay healthy and can pitch all year, I think you're fine. For the regular season. But then what happens in the postseason is you start taking those number twos and threes and going against aces. And that's where you run into trouble as the postseason. You might win 95 games and roll into like a top seed into the playoffs, but then you play a three-game series against – or five games. It would be a five-game series if you're a top seed because you missed the wild card round. You're facing the Garrett Coles and the aces of this world. So, I don't know. It's doable. If you have three number twos, I think you're fine. But it's just not realistic to say, well, we're going to be healthy all year. The way guys throw max effort, the way they're trying to pull down to spin the ball, the way pitchers are used now is just like, hey, give me everything you have for 4 to 6 innings. And that's just not realistic when you're thinking about guys having long careers and throwing 200 innings. Like the 200 innings, 170 innings is a new 200 innings.
Mm-hmm. Logan Webb led the league in innings pitched with, I don't know, 220-ish?
Maybe? 220, yeah. I think so.
If that?
I feel like that's all right. You tell me.
Led the National League with 216.
16, okay.
Yeah, 216.
Well, you think like everyone's talking about like, all right, so Glasnow.
I was just going to ask about him.
Yeah, so Tyler Glasnow is like, what do you have, 120 innings or so? You know, it was actually one of the better post Tommy John seasons we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
How many innings are you looking at?
120 on the dot. Okay. On the dot. Yeah.
Okay. So everyone's like, man, he's going to be even better. This and that. That was sneaky. I'll say sneaky because nobody knows it. That was a career high for him.
It was. Wow. That's kind of disappointing.
So you wouldn't think that though. You think he's like a 180 guy.
Yeah.
But he's dealt with a lot of injuries through his career because of he's long, he's lanky, he throws gas, he spins the shit out of the ball, and that equals elbows issues. He was very loud about the spin or the stickiness being taken away, and that playing into him blowing out his elbow. Who knows if it did or didn't? It makes sense if it did. But he's a guy. I mean, we have to skip too far forward, but like looking at trade candidates, he's a guy who, in my mind, should be a number two. If a team brings him in to be a number one, I don't think they're in a good place. Just because, like what we just said, 120 innings is his max he's seen in his career. That's not an ace, in my opinion. He has ace-type stuff, but if he's not out there, the best ability is availability.
Yeah.
If you're not out there, it doesn't matter. So I think we see a team, if Glasnow is traded, I think we see a team who already has like a wealth of good arms, and we're going to be like, wow, they got him. It's going to be one of those, like, they didn't even need him type things. And he's going to slide in and be like a number two or number three. Probably if he can slide in and be a three, like teams, you're in a good place, but you're also not putting all your eggs in one basket where if he does get hurt, or if he does throw 120 innings only and only makes, I don't know, 24 starts instead of 30 plus, you're okay because you have two other arms to lean on, or at least one stud ahead of them.
You said you didn't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but you know, I think we've teased our audience enough about this episode. We've teased it a couple times saying, hey, we're going to talk about, you know, landing spots and our predictions for the offseason. That's what we're doing on today's episode. So let's go ahead and skip ahead and let's just talk about the trade candidate. So Glasnow's
one.
By your definition, I agree, he would not be a prototypical number one because he's not taking the bump every fifth day.
His stuff-wise, he's an eight.
Absolutely.
He has ace shit. I mean, you see him throw, it defines ace. He throws gas, he throws strikes, he punches guys out, he gets soft contact. He just has that demeanor about him, which he is an ace. But you got to show me you can be out there longer. You got to throw more innings to be a certified ace.
Gerrit Cole, arguably the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. His greatest asset is not only his stuff, it's his availability. He's pitched 30 or more starts in six straight full seasons, Gerrit Cole. Right. That's
right. And you know what? You know what? He will go out there and people are only going to remember his clunkers, right? The Red Sox shelled him and, you know, he gave up six in three innings. You know what? He did, but then he stuck it out and got through six, right? And that's why their bullpen was one of the best bullpens at baseball last year, because their starting pitching was working deeper in the games and they weren't having to overuse guys.
Mm-hmm. Where does Glasnow go? Where are you thinking?
Man.
Does Boston have a chance to get him, or probably not because it's in the division, right?
But
they have traded. They've had that relationship because they had Heim. Heim's not there anymore, of course, but they had Heim Bloom, so they brought over Eovaldi. He used to be a Tampa Bay Ray. They kind of had a.
Yeah, I don't think he goes to Boston. I'm trying to think right now. I'm not sure where he would go because you know it's a rental. It's a 1 year deal.
The Dodgers are certainly an option. The Dodgers
and it's like $25 million, right? So the Dodgers are a very good option. They have the money. I think the Red Sox are going bigger. We can get into that in a little bit. A little bigger splash.
Okay.
I don't know where Glasnow would go. I'm thinking because I could see a team being like, all right, we need him to lead our rotation, but I think that would be a problem.
Agreed.
Now, he could be totally different post-Tommy John. This could have been elbow issues for the last 3 years, and we just didn't know, you know, and it ended up blowing out. You know, I would have said St. Louis. But I feel like they already kind of – they just landed three guys, not necessarily top guys. Lance Lynn's not who he used to be. Sonny Gray is a stud.
Mm-hmm.
No way around that. They still have Steven Matz, right, end of that rotation.
They do, yeah.
And they picked up Kyle Gibson. I'm missing somebody. I can't remember their four. But Michaelis will probably be number two behind Sonny Gray.
Yeah.
Then Kyle Gibson, Lance Lynn, and then probably Matz is their rotation.
Yeah.
God, you got me thinking on Glasnow.
What about San Diego? Because they made the trade for Blake Snell 2 years ago with Tampa, 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago.
If they're not able to retain Snell,
there's no way they're retaining Snell. My opinion.
I don't think so.
They're trying to cut salary.
I think so too, but Glasnow's $25 million, dude.
Yeah, but for 1 year.
It's still $25 million if you're trying to cut money.
True.
Like how much of Soto's salary are they going to be able to give up? He's just 1 year too. Mm-hmm. So, man, I don't know. I definitely like West Coast for him. I do.
Here's my thing.
Look at the Dodgers rotation right now. You know what? I'm going to go Dodgers.
That makes just as much sense. I agree.
He'll fill in this year and then Shohei.
He's from Santa Clarita too, which is like, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes, depending on traffic.
Yeah. You know what? I like that. I like that call. And they have the money. They have the financial means to be like $25 million. I got that in my ashtray, right?
Yeah. Cubs are interesting too. Cubs, they could use some pitching.
Cubs made an official offer to Shohei.
Reportedly, according to Jeff Passan.
Allegedly, it was $500 million.
This is being kept really in-house.
Yeah, really because in-house. Shohei scared him, man. Yeah. Shohei said, if anything leaks from any team, you're out.
Yeah.
I love that. And no one's talking because everybody's scared shitless.
Yeah.
So it makes me think. So Jeff Passan came out today and said, the Red Sox are out. The Yankees are out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, are they? Or do they just have to say we're out? You know, I think the Red Sox are out. I don't think that would make sense for the Red Sox. It's fun. It'd be a great business decision because of everything that he brings to a team as far as selling tickets and merchandise and advertising. Like, all this stuff would be great. New Balance is based there. He's a New Balance athlete. It would be great. For the baseball team, it would be fun. I would love to see him in a Red Sox uniform, but they have way more holes to fill. And if they sign Shohei Ohtani, they are not all of a sudden a contender. They're not. There's no way around that. They need to sign a number one and number two. Shohei's not going to pitch next year anyways. And you're still going to pay him 50 mil. Right? Who knows how he comes back after his second Tommy John. This isn't his first Tommy John. I'm not saying he's not going to be good. I think he's still going to be good. But this is a second massive elbow surgery. Second Tommy Johns are really hard to come back from. We've seen guys struggle to come back from one. He struggled to come back from one. It took him a year and a half post return to baseball to really have his good stuff back again. Mm-hmm. He had no control for that first season. Do we see that again? So it's like, there's a lot of questions. I'm not saying he's not going to be good. I think he's going to be good. Okay. It's Shohei. He's the best player to ever play the game. But I think the Red Sox have way too many holes to fill to put all of that into one player. I think I'm just getting into it because I'm already on the Red Sox. I think they sign Yamamoto. I think they sign Jordan Montgomery. That's their 1-2 right there. And then Brian Bello, who has got ace potential down the road,
mm-hmm.
is their number three. And, you know, I was talking about this in Tom Karen, who's our host on the pre and post game show at Neston. He made a really good point at the end of the season. He said, if this team wants to be good next year, Brian Bello's got to be at number three. And I was like, damn, that's a really good point, CC. That's exactly right, because that means they went out and they made a splash. Craig Breslow just brought in. He was a pitcher. Guys like that. They're like, this guy gets it. All right, and here's something else. Yamamoto, Boston is said to be favorite for Yamamoto right now. Who knows? That's all a rumor. Who knows if that's true? I know Boston wants to make a splash. I know they need to get their fan base back on their side, and that's going to help. Jordan Montgomery is spending the offseason in Boston, Danny. He's not from there. He's a South Carolina kid.
Hmm.
All right. His wife, Mackenzie, is finishing up a residency to be a dermatologist at a local hospital in Boston. He's working out at Boston College. He's right in front of them. All right. So one of two things are going to happen. There's a lot of contact. He's going to fall in love with Boston. Done deal. That's your number two. Great. Or it's cold as shit in Boston and it snows and he's like, get me out of this place. That could possibly happen too. I think it's the first. I think he signs with Boston. I think there's your 1-2-3. Yamamoto, Montgomery, Bayo. That's a pretty nasty 1-2-3. All right, then they have to assess, like, do they get a right-handed hitting outfielder? So we're looking at, like, Luis Robert. Do they trade with the White Sox? Do they trade Alex?
No, stop it. Now you're just being way too hopeful. You're getting Red Sox hope.
No.
Way too high. They're not going to trade for Luis Robert. Come on now.
They have movable pieces, man. And you have a new GM who is not tied to these guys.
Hmm.
They have a lot of position player equity in the minor leagues.
It would probably take a Brian Bello to get a Luis Robert.
Yeah, probably, but they're not gonna get rid of him. But you gotta see where the White Sox are at. You gotta try. I'm not saying that they're going to. I'm saying that's what I feel like they need, a right-handed bat.
Mm-hmm.
I could also see it being like a Rhys Hoskins. If you don't re-sign Justin Turner, Rhys Hoskins coming off an ACL, you obviously want to see if he's good, but he can DH, he can play first if Casas needs to DH. Rhys can probably play some left field if you need him to, because Masataka Yoshida is not a good outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
Rhys would not be a step down from him. It'd be just game manager quarterback, basically. Like, just go out there and make the routine plays. That's all we need. Stay on your feet. Don't give up any runs. That type thing.
Kyle Schwarber at first base.
Yeah, knock it down, bud. Just tackle it.
Yeah.
And then they need a second baseman. First, still talking about the Red Sox. I mean, there's been talks with Jonathan India. There's been Brandon Drury. Whit Merrifield, there's a lot of names been floated out there trying to figure that out. Merrifield would cost a little more. I don't think he's going to help them that much. But they have to shore up their defense because the Red Sox defense was ass. It was cheeks last year.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of that. My main point being, they have a lot to fix for them to just go all in on Shohei. Because he's not going to all of a sudden make them a contender. It's just not going to happen.
So you have, what was it, Glasnow to the Dodgers, Montgomery to the Red Sox, Yamamoto to the Red Sox. So where does Shohei end up?
Dodgers. Okay. They just have the financial means. They have the incentive to offer him a record contract. I mean, that's who they are. It's the Dodgers. They've always been that way. They're not scared to spend money. I think he already has a good base. He knows LA. Now he takes like step away from little brother and goes to big brother, go into the Dodgers. It's going to be even more opportunity for him to make. He's going to double his money off the field. Like, let's be honest. Like, he's going to make $1 billion.
For sure. So will the organization.
For sure. Which they don't even need help selling tickets yet. That place is you go to that place, it's like a movie. It's like a show. It's not, and I know baseball is entertainment business, but you still are like, all right, it's a game. You go to LA, you start playing there, even as a visiting player, you're like,
it's cool.
This is sick.
Big. Feels
movie
big.
Stars sitting around. You got athletes like sitting right by on deck circle. It's crazy, man. It's a cool place to play. And it's like, it just seems perfect for Shohei to go there. So obviously he can't pitch next season. LA needs starting pitching. So that's where Glasnow could be good. Bueller will be back, which is good. Bobby Miller right now is their number two. Does Kershaw finish his career in Texas? Like, maybe. I can't see the Dodgers not bringing him back. But there's a good chance Julio Urias doesn't see the field next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because of his domestic violence issues off the field. So, Dodgers makes too much sense for too many reasons.
I also have the Dodgers for Shohei. I think at this stage, you start weeding out the teams that thought they were in the sweepstakes. So, for example, there were, you know, Jeff Passan came out and said that the teams that are still in it, Dodgers, Cubs, Blue Jays, and Angels, and he reported that the Mets, Rangers, and Red Sox have turned their attention elsewhere. He did not mention San Francisco, which was intriguing to me. He did not say whether they were in or out. He said it's pretty much unknown where San Francisco is right now on the Ohtani sweepstakes, which I found quirky.
I don't think he goes there.
Maybe not, but it's strange how...
I feel like the Giants have to make some type of splash after last offseason, like the Correa, the Judge, like all that stuff going down and like not ending up with anyone. It's like, all right, we got to sign someone. Because they were a decent team last year that was just missing a superstar, like missing like two pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Are you saying Wilmer Flores in the three hole is not going to get it done well?
I saw it in person, dude.
What? Yeah. I think Ohtani to the Dodgers makes perfect sense. Did you see the report? I think it was Hector Gomez that put this out, that there were stirrings of the Angels also. If the Dodgers got Ohtani, the Angels could also trade Mike Trout to the Dodgers. It would basically be an Ohtani-Trout flip to the Dodgers, which I don't know how much truth there was to that.
Those fans would burn.
Could you imagine?
They would burn that stadium down in Anaheim, bro.
Yeah.
I want Trout out of there.
Be fun to see him. I do too.
I want to travel on the East Coast.
Philly? Yankees? Would not want to be in New York.
No, I mean, he's a Philly fan.
Pittsburgh. No. Put that man in Pittsburgh. They couldn't afford him, obviously. But
no, that's disgusting. Was Melky Barkin?
Yeah, he's old and grumpy, dude. He just barks at me now from the top of the stairs.
That's kind
of
like me.
He's going to become a problem.
You got them shorty shorts on.
Me? I got the Lulu.
That's what happens when you're 6'6". Everything's short.
Yeah. Cody Bellinger.
Ooh.
Had a good season 2023, but you look at all the statistics when it comes to StatCast and expected numbers. Perhaps he was a little bit luckier than the
numbers. What was his expected batting average?
I'll get it for you.
I know he hit .307 with 26 tater tots and with 20 bags, too.
He's always had speed. It was never a question of speed.
Yeah, it was just too much swing and miss.
So his expected on base average.
No, I want expected batting average. So I'm looking at his batting average right now.
Okay. Dude, FanGraphs is not working for me right now. Hold on. Let's go with baseball. Savant.
That was so funny. It's one of my favorite clips of all time.
All right. Expected batting average last year is 256. 268. Apologies. 268.
That's still ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And his actual batting average was what, 308 or something like that?
307.
307. Yeah.
So we're looking like 40 points.
What was his slug last year? I'll give you his expected.
I don't know. I don't have it.
You're useless. What do you do on this show other than just look handsome?
Well, that's most of it.
His slug last year was 525, and his expected slug was 434.
Jesus Christ. Okay, what the
fuck? It's a little concerning, you know?
That makes me think, like, was there wind blowing out a lot at Wrigley? Which is a real thing. I don't know. Like, that's huge. That's a big gap.
So his hard hit percentage was actually a career low last year, 31.4%.
Okay, so damn.
Yeah.
That scares me. Because that's just screaming like lucky. I mean, home run's a home run. Like, I get that, right? It's 26 homers. But like, I see the 307 and that jumped off the page at me. I'm like, 307? I was like, I don't feel like he hit over 300. And that makes more sense. What are his strikeouts? He only played 130 games. He played 130 games.
That's really where he turned things around last year, was his strikeout percentage. It was a career low 15.6%.
Oh, wow. That's great.
So it put the ball in play more.
I mean, anything under 20s for a power hitter is great.
The year before in 2022, strikeout percentage was 27.3.
Sheesh.
So he slashed it nearly in half.
How many games was that?
I don't know. It was a lot, man. I have every stat it here. Hold on. Baseball Savant. Baseball Savant. 144 in 2022. So it was a full season. And he played 130 in 2023.
A shit ton of strikeouts.
Any other questions for me while I have statistics in front of me?
It's just your job. You're the IT guy.
We need to get a guy that joins our squad and just punches the numbers for us, because we can't remember all these things.
We'll work on that, okay?
Expected producer.
Okay, so, all right, so Bellinger.
Or a woman. I said a man. That was...
Woman would probably be better. Bellinger, I think the Yankees want Juan Soto, and I think if they can't make a deal with San Diego, then they'll go Cody Bellinger. But they're going to be in a fight with the Cubs. But I think the Cubs are going to do everything in their power. They did offer him the qualifying offer, which he's not going to take after the season he just had. But they're going to try to re-sign him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be between the Cubs and the Yankees. I think Cody Bellinger is a Chicago Cub next year. And I think Juan Soto is a New York Yankee.
Supposedly, the reports are saying that the Yankees and Padres have exchanged names. So
yeah, that's always the first step. I mean,
yeah,
that gets reported and you're like, oh my God, here it goes. Like, no, that's like the first step. Like, here's what we're going to offer you. And then they go back and forth for a month. Unless they hit the jackpot and they're like, that works, let's do it.
Here's a team I want to throw out there. And maybe it's not for Cody Bellinger. Maybe it's for Matt. Well, he played for the last year. But so the Blue Jays are supposedly one of the finalists for Ohtani. And if they miss out on Ohtani, which they're not exactly expected to be the front runners, if they miss out on Ohtani, the Toronto Blue Jays are not going to be like, oh, we just won't get anybody. No, they're going to have to turn their attention elsewhere. So Cody Bellinger, or I was going to bring up the name Matt Chapman. Obviously, he played for them last year. Blake Snell. Reese Hoskins. Like, Toronto's going to have to go somewhere if they don't get Ohtani.
Oh, man. I always feel like Toronto is, like, the forgotten team. Yeah. Just because we're in Canada, right? And I mean, I'm guilty of, like, never thinking of them as signing guys.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason. I could see that, though. I could see Belly doing that. But I think the Cubs want him. But you got a new manager coming in. So who knows? He might have a different feel for it. So we'll, I guess, have to see how that works out.
What about Matt Chapman?
You know, I originally said Diamondbacks, but then they got Suarez from Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see Chapman going to the Yankees. He looks
The Yankees
he looks like Mickey Mantle.
It's been a revolving door at third base for the Yankees ever since, really. Yeah, like
Josh Donaldson wasn't their guy. He couldn't stay healthy. No. I could see Matt Chapman going to the Yankees.
San Francisco makes a lot of sense.
Clean shaven.
Yeah.
You know, he looks like a Yankee to me.
Wasn't there a report? It was like a year ago. No, it was 2 years ago before Chappie got traded to Toronto. There was a report that the Yankees were looking to trade for Matt Chapman to be their shortstop. Do you remember that?
Well, that was before Volpe got to the big leagues. And
right. But there's a connection there.
There's a connection there, but he's not a shortstop. He's Chappie, very athletic third baseman. But
Chappie makes a lot of sense for San Francisco, too. Bob Melvin, new manager. Bob Melvin managed him in Oakland. San Francisco needs a third baseman as well. And San Francisco is looking to spend money if they miss out.
That's a good point. I didn't think about the Melvin connection. That's a good point there. I can see, okay. Now the Diamondbacks are out on him. I can see Yankees and Giants kind of fighting him over that there. I like that.
Blake Snell lands where?
I'm going to go Philly.
They just keep spending, man.
They just keep spending, dude. Yeah. Keep spending until you win it. The thing with Snell is like...
We haven't mentioned Atlanta at all on this episode. What's going on?
They're sneaky, but they tend to find guys you're like, that's like second tier, and then they're like superstars, right?
Ronaldo Lopez, who they already signed.
Yeah. But they signed him for like 3 for $30, right?
Yeah, and they're going to make him a starter, and he's probably going to be very impactful for him.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Snell is interesting, obviously, with the Cy Young and the dominant season that he had, but he's just such a balancing act.
Mm.
Like, he's balancing on that fence of like, I give up 7 over 2 2/3, or I went no hit perfect into the 7th. It's like, holy shit, man. He stresses me out because he goes full count on everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm facing Blake Snell on a normal day, not a day that he's like locked in and like pounding the zone, a normal day for him, I can get to 3-2 count without swinging my bat.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, and you hear people bitch about Snell, like he doesn't work deep in games. He's only throwing, it's 5 and dive every time. Yeah, because he's had 100 pitches. Because he goes 3-2 on 2 guys every inning. So, like, the worst thing you can do as a hitter against Blake Snell is go swing early in the count and be aggressive. Like, just wait him out.
I mentioned Toronto earlier.
Go ahead.
Nah, I mean to cut you off. But I mentioned Toronto earlier. Maybe they could be a play for Snell. What about Baltimore? Excuse me, Baltimore.
Baltimore. It's time for Baltimore to start spinning.
It's been time, dude. It's overdue.
They have a lot of controllable young talent making no money right now. Mm-hmm. They should extend some of these guys. Yeah. Let's be honest. I wonder if Jackson Holliday is going to be their starting shortstop, or if they're going to stick with Mateo.
Their top prospects, for the most part, other than Jackson Holliday, they're pretty much on the cusp, of getting to the big leagues here. And
who's the other guy? He got to the big leagues last year. What was his name?
Colton Cowser.
No, I was thinking of someone else.
I don't know, but almost all of them are
like Kerstad or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Heston Kerstad.
Yeah, he got to the big leagues.
But all of them, if not all of them, are position players, not pitchers.
Correct.
And that's
that's how the Red Sox are.
Right. And so if Baltimore wants to continue to make strides here, they're going to have to probably look either to the trade market or the free agent market to add to their starting rotation. As it stands right now, Kyle Bradish, Grayson Rodriguez, John Means, Dean Kramer, and Cole Irvin.
By the way, those guys aren't big names, but they have some good stuff.
Yeah.
They have some good stuff. Dean Kramer, yeah. Bradish, these guys they're good.
Seattle and Blake Snell, too, by the way. He's a Seattle kid. He just raised the 12th man flag at the Seahawks game. But Seattle's pretty good.
Cassio, Kirby.
They're going to get Robbie Ray back.
They got to trade one of those. Yeah, Woo. They could trade one of those guys. That's who somebody like I've been, thinking about for the Red Sox is like, can they trade for a Logan Gilbert? Can they trade for a George Kirby? Like one of those guys. Because they don't need to trade them. But if they need an outfielder or a couple outfielders or a prospect, like they could trade one of those guys and get 3 players.
Seattle's another team. Like Baltimore, that needs to start putting their
middle
of the medal here.
Seattle was the team I told you I think could be this season's or next season's Arizona Diamondbacks.
Right.
Like sneak in and make some noise because that rotation is ridiculous. Yeah.
Eduardo Rodriguez. I'm going to start just naming off guys. We're going to go fast pace here. Pick up
Reds.
Reds?
Reds.
Marcus Stroman.
Ooh, I didn't even think about Stro. Could you imagine him going back to Toronto?
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. I know he's close with like Manoa. Wonder what happens with Manoa.
Like, you mean like he's not going anywhere? I don't think anybody wants.
No, I mean like, does he figure it out?
Oh yeah, I don't know.
Like, what's he look like in spring training? I'm not going to get into. I'm not like body shaming and like talking about him being overweight and stuff like that. Sure. Like, I know he's putting in the work because I know he works his ass off. And some people are just bigger people.
Yeah.
But some people have to work a lot harder to get in state shape and stay in shape. And I know he puts in the work.
Dude, Pablo Sandoval worked his ass off every offseason. Then when the season hit, he laid flat for the most part. And he would always, always gain weight. He really did work hard in the offseason, though, to try and cut weight.
You work out in the offseason with him or what?
I did, yeah. Yeah. Want me to get him on speed dial?
Please.
Okay. He's busy. I was just on the phone. He's busy.
Anyways, to my point, I don't want to hear about Pablo working his ass off. Anyways, moving on.
You said Jordan Montgomery to the Red Sox.
Red Sox.
You mentioned Rhys Hoskins. What about Rhys? I think he's another fit for either San Diego, San Francisco, another West Coast team, Seattle.
I mean, obviously he's from out there. He went to Sac State, right?
Yes, he did. Stingers up.
Yep. I would love him to be in Boston. I love Rhys. I got to know him well when I was there in 2018. Yeah. And he's a friend of the pod. He's been on.
Yes, he is.
That was like 2 years ago. That was a while back.
It's been a minute.
We got to get some guests. I would never think about it. We're too busy.
We do have it. That's a great teaser. We have Jake McKinley joining our episode, our next episode. Next Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Head coach of the University of Nevada Wolfpack, former director of player development for the Milwaukee Brewers. That should be fun. Cool. So, Rhys, where's he go? What do you think?
I'm thinking. What do you think?
Cincinnati?
Damn, it's a good call. I like that. I like Cincinnati. I like the fit in Boston.
Yeah.
Damn. Cincinnati would be a launching pad for him. Mm-hmm. I need to see more like how he's bouncing back off of his knee, off the ACL. I'm not giving up on him going to Boston, but Cincinnati makes a lot of sense. With Votto gone.
Josh Hader.
Texas. I think Texas. I just think one of the glaring weaknesses on the Rangers team was the back end of their bullpen. Like, for a couple months. Not the whole season. Not the end of the year, but
most of it.
There were some months there where they had some issues. They were fine in the postseason, but they had a couple stretches in the season where they were bad. They blew 33 saves. That's tied with Colorado for the most in MLB. So the bullpen's going to be a priority for Texas. I don't think they make any like massive splashes. I guess Josh Hader could be considered a big splash, I guess, because he's one of the better relievers in baseball. But they're losing Aroldis Chapman to free agency. He was shaky a lot anyways. He was never like a comfortable outing. But I just think Hader fits in perfect the back end of that Rangers bullpen. Kind of a setup guy. But they have Jose Leclerc, who's been close. Well, does Hader only want to close?
Probably.
So do they bump Leclerc to eighth?
Yeah. Hader's the much more dominant option there.
No, I'm with you. But Leclerc's just been there for a while.
What if?
He was there in 2017 when I was there.
Hear me out. Clayton Kershaw goes to Texas, and he says, goodbye starting pitching. I'm going to pull a John Smoltz, and I'm going to be the next Texas Rangers closer.
Yeah, nothing screams closer like a 90.91 mile per hour fastball.
If you're only pitching 20 pitches in an outing.
I don't think so. He's had too many back issues, now shoulder surgery. So he's not going to be back till like June.
I know. Yeah, he had some serious surgery.
Serious, like capsule.
If at all. I don't want to scare people, but there's
Yeah, he's my age. He's like 35, 36. Like, that's going to be tough to bounce back from. I'm not saying he's done, but
right.
don't know what you get from him. That's why I think he probably just signs like some type of deal in LA to just kind of finish his career. Or I could see, Texas is an option just because he's from Highland Park, which is like downtown Dallas. Please try again.
Siri's listening to everything. John Smoltz, average fastballs last three seasons, 92.7, 93, and 91.6. I know.
How old was he?
John Smoltz is 56 now. His last season was 2009, which would be, to the math, 14 years. I don't know, he's probably 42 years old, 41 years old. Here.
8 years older than Kershaw.
Last one, and we can move on with our lives. Jorge Soler.
Ooh, I didn't even think about him.
Yeah. He's sleepy. I mean, you shouldn't be sleeping on him. He's a guy that has some of the most pop in baseball. Maybe not as consistent as you would want, but you
talk about guys going to Toronto.
Toronto. I think Cincinnati is another good,
Cincinnati, Toronto. Because he's kind of going to be like DH fourth outfielder.
What about Tampa?
I don't think so. I don't think he fits there.
Hmm.
I can see him re-signing in Miami.
I don't know what Miami's doing. You get rid of Kamang, who got you to the playoffs. They
Gabe Kapler.
They bring in Gabe Kapler. And why did they bring in Gabe Kapler? Because he gets guys like Wilmer Flores, who play above their salaries.
I saw him sticking his head in.
He's going to be a problem, man. I told you.
How old is he?
12.
12, jeez.
I know. SEC championship, that's where you're at, right? Georgia, yep. Georgia, Alabama.
Atlanta. I'm in Atlanta. Yeah, Georgia, Alabama.
Georgia's favored by 5.
What? I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be like a 31-28 type game. 34-31 type game.
And who wins?
Dang. You know, the worst thing.
You can't put out the score like that and not have a winner. You know.
Oh, no, I have a winner. Just let me talk. Let me talk through this. So, the worst thing that could happen to the college football playoff is Alabama win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then you're like, well, we can't leave Georgia in. But if Georgia loses to like arguably one of the top 7 or 8 teams in the game, did they really drop past 4?
Mm-hmm.
No, not realistically. But then you have a team in the playoff that lost to a team that's out of the playoff.
Yeah.
So it's like you got a lot of moving pieces. So if everyone else wins.
Well, Washington and Oregon will take care of itself.
I think Oregon wins.
Oregon's favored by like 9 points, which was shocking to me because Washington.
They've been playing some really good football ever since Washington beat them.
Right. And it's a neutral field, too. Florida State likely going to be with their third string quarterback against Louisville.
You know what? Those receivers are unbelievable. Florida State is nasty.
That transfer from Michigan State, is it Coleman? I think is his name. God, he's incredible.
Keon
Coleman, yeah.
So I think Florida State's only favored by like 1.5.
Yeah.
You know, I felt so bad for them when Jordan Travis went down because I didn't think they were going to win a national championship. I didn't. They're not going to beat like the Michigans or the Georgias. They're not. Yeah. I just don't think they're. I don't think they're good. I don't think they have the defense to beat them. But they still were going to get in the playoff, you know, they're going to beat Louisville, but, back to your original question. I think Georgia wins on like a fourth quarter field goal.
Do you think Florida State should be like, do you think Florida State should be held out because they lost Jordan Travis? Or do you think it should be all based on what their resume says?
That's got to matter. Or you're going to end up with like the TCU issue. Like you had last year playoff where you get people getting blown out.
Liberty is 12-0. Just saying.
I mean, come on.
I'm just saying you got to take talent on the field.
Conference USA is not spitting out a playoff team.
I know, but okay. Hypothetically, right? Let's say Oregon beats Washington. Florida State wins. Do you put Ohio State or Texas above Florida State? And let's say Bama wins too.
I got to see how Texas plays against Oklahoma State, but. Texas is really good. I just think that I don't think they have a good quarterback.
Let me ask you this. Let me simplify things. Would you rather have either Ohio State or Texas, assuming Texas wins, either Ohio State or Texas with one loss in the playoff or an undefeated Florida State on a third string quarterback?
I need Texas to lose. My perfect situation would be Georgia wins by, I mean, Atlanta, Alabama beats Georgia by one in like a hell of a game.
Yeah.
Texas loses, Florida State loses.
You want chaos.
And then they're forced to put both Georgia and Alabama in the playoff.
It's not going to happen.
No, but I think Alabama's one of the four best teams in the nation.
I agree. I just don't think they're going
to
get in.
But they have to win.
Yeah.
But if they win, you can't move Georgia from one to five if the other teams lose.
You know what would be just chaos is if Alabama loses – or excuse me, Alabama wins. And then let's say, like, hypothetically, it's either Florida State or Bama that you
like
let
Michigan's going to win by 30.
Yes. So. Like, if your two options, like your two best options are Bama and Florida State, and Florida State's undefeated and Bama has one loss against Texas, I don't know who you're putting in, man. I think Bama unarguably is
that's
the better
team. That's where deep down, if you want the best team in there – as a committee, you have to look at the body, like, or like the details of the team. You have to look at Florida State's quarterback situation and say, is this the best team we can put in there right now?
I agree.
Like, I get it. They won the ACC. They're undefeated. They had a great season, but their quarterback is gone.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to compete in the playoff. That's a tough spot to be in. So they're praying Florida State loses, so they don't have to worry about that. They're praying Georgia wins big. And by big, like 10. Michigan's going to take care of business. Oregon beating Washington could get a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then Texas. Texas should win. Texas favored by like 9, I think.
Yeah, against OK State.
Yeah.
Baseball fans by day, college football, super fans by
I'm way more passionate about football, to be honest. Yeah.
I will live vicariously through you at the SEC championship game. I will be working that game remotely, but I will be, you know, emotionally.
I'll be in a suite in the end zone, yeah. Multiple bourbons and, or tequilas deep.
Very, very jealous.
I'll send videos.
I really hope you don't. That's actually makes it
I will.
Way
I'm gonna
worse.
FaceTime. I'm going to FaceTime you. And unless you're on the phone with Pablo Sandoval, you better pick up.
Thank you guys for listening. We have plenty more Wake and Rake. Next episode is going to be Jake McKinley from University of Nevada, Reno. Talk to y'all soon.
Peace.